Key Huff and Peter Phillips are our executive producers and hosts. Mitch Scorza is our engineer. The Project Censored show airs on nearly 40 stations around the United States. Please follow us and like us on Facebook. Send us an email at projectcensoredradio@gmail.com and visit our website online at projectcensored.org, where you can find the archives of all of our shows for the past 6 years, as well as other content and 40 years of news that didn't make the news. Thanks for joining us.
And that brings to a close the Project Censored Radio. We're going to move on. It's 9:59, time for Air Cascadia headlines, interviews, and commentary. And following that, we got the food show for people who love to eat, and like that. And jazz follows at noon, of course. Let's listen to one message before we go on to Air Cascadia.
Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KABU in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1930.
You know what? We're getting some interference. Let me just play some music here.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, June 21st, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your resistance radio, your whistleblower radio, your solstice radio at 90.7 FM on the air, KBOO.FM. Everywhere. So, weather for today and tomorrow, chance of rain, but mostly early on, clearing and eventually reaching high around 75. And for tonight, mostly clear sky, so you can watch the solstice, right? With a low around 53. I'm sure many people will be out there. And for tomorrow, sunny with a high near 77. And tomorrow night, Mostly clear, lows around 53. And that's it for the weather for your bioregion from your bioradio. We had hoped to be joined by Francis Boyle, a leading authority on international law and an observer, as are we all, of the horror unfolding in Syria. Now, apparently, after the downing of a Russian plane, that puts us essentially not simply trying to eradicate a named terrorist organization or any one of the terrorist organizations operating in the region, anyone that we might possibly be able to hit, anything but Russia, anything would be great. So, basically now we are at illegal war with Syria. Assad, of course, is still right there sitting in the crosshairs saying the U.S. wondering what they're going to do with the commander in chief, who wouldn't know how to command a flea circus. That said, Francis Boyle has a handle on this situation. And the one takeaway element here that everyone can understand is that bombing, now that we've essentially bombed Russia, have attacked Syria, and we are in an illegal war, which means that this is indeed an impeachable event. This is a clearly defined legally. This is an impeachable event. Others, plenty. There's plenty of other things. But either they are a little bit convoluted, and Trump has some pretty convoluted attorneys surrounding him. All of this is so far from what we consider norms, never mind whether it's legal or illegal or against the rules or following the rules, is so far from any normative behavior that it's impossible to compare the actions of Donald Trump with anything else that we've seen. It is simply, we are in a different world now, and there are no, essentially Donald Trump is writing the rules and we're following them. If we could manage not to do that, we would have already taken the first steps to establishing our own normative behavior. But it's a peculiar situation, you would think. Just taking a look at two stories in the mainstream news, and I'm pretty sure that news programming is all comes out. It's so much the same now. It's extraordinary. But so you get one story about Russians, and it's absolutely proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that yes, they hacked elections. They tried to get into the elections, and they will try and do it again, and they will continue to get better at it, as they have done in Europe, in European elections. Then comes the news out of Georgia that Ossoff lost, and that was extraordinary because more money poured into that particular election than anything, I believe they said, anything to date. And a lot of that money backed Ossoff. He had a lot of out-of-state money. Unfortunately, he had the shadow of Nancy Pelosi cast over voters who were not ashamed to go ahead and vote for the candidate heavily inspired by Donald Trump. You would think, after, I don't know, how many months is it now? God, it seems like years, that people would clearly understand that Donald Trump is a criminal. He's involved in various criminal syndicates, the building, the construction business in New York, New Jersey has been known to be notably corrupt, has been for a long time. Donald Trump burned through all lenders, the six major lenders, who would give you money for commercial real estate, building huge buildings of the kind that Donald Trump likes, the gold toilet seat standard. He burned through them, and when he looked around for money, there was Vladimir Putin. There was the Russian mafia with bags full of cash and no questions asked on either side. On either side, eh? These two stories ran back to back. About first up, of course, the Russians hacking into elections, and then the strange results in Georgia. No one asked a question about that. There it was. Boom, one story. Boom, the next story. Boom, moving on. Moving on to what? To television, and to, not just television, but the resurrection of game shows, and how terrific game shows were now, and how desperately necessary it was to have a game show right now, because things were so bloody awful everywhere that it was necessary to roll out a few game shows so that people wouldn't feel too badly about political landscape. Well, of course we should feel badly about the political landscape. Game shows aren't going to fix it. We are. It's going to get fixed at all. And apparently it isn't. It, to me, what it looks like is nobody's going to do anything about this. It's just going to continue. Nothing. The outrageous, over the top, beyond the norm actions of this administration, and the absurd behavior of administration officials are beyond the pale, and yet people sort of say, well, you know, they're just kind of working the kinks out, and this is going to be terrific. This is going to be a huge and wonderful reign of terror. Well, maybe. We'll see. I don't know. But meanwhile, at a state level, things need fixing, and fast. We've cut down all our trees, and we want to cut down a lot more trees. And I suppose in this new world of imagined realism, that it is possible to have imaginary trees and have a terrifically bountiful imaginary crop generating imaginary profits all over the place. Yes, sure. But wouldn't it be better to grow industrial hemp, to take one dead rural industry that's supposed to prop up the schools? Why not grow industrial hemp? I haven't heard that brought up, yet it's there in the background. Same with single payer. Same with an expanded and advanced Medicare. It's all waiting. We could take it. It's right there. It's free. It's on the shelf. Grab it. And we don't. Public banking. Where's that? If you're busy watching a game show, I suppose it doesn't matter. And the game shows too. It's like, this is supposed to be kind of vaguely intellectual undertaking. So Travis Kalanick stepped down as the chief executive at Uber. Everyone hates him now, loved him before. Now they hate him. As long as you're gold, people still love you. And Travis, his behavior is no worse than anybody else's in any other industry, in any other Wall Street listed company. And it's six of one, half dozen of the other. But he stepped down because now he's no longer in the driver's seat. And it's impossible not to look at George and Karen Handel, veteran Republican office holder, really someone who has long since passed their expiration date, and somehow overcame a deluge of money all across the country, pouring in from progressive people and progressive organizations. Karen handled one, a special House election, and the official way that the Associated Press and the New York Times saw this was, get this, all right, you ready for it? She bridged the divide in the Republican Party between admirers of Trump and those made uneasy by his turbulent new administration. Really? She did that? That's great. And she was barely even elected yet. And also, her election should be called into question by anybody who's paying any attention at all and is not watching game shows. This was a game show to end all game shows. John Ossoff must be scratching his head right now. Meanwhile, back at the Fed, the storm around Michael Flynn is still swirling, and there are so many questions. But don't forget, we are in new territory. None of this is normative behavior. Nothing about this administration resembles anything that we've had before. This has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, June 21st, 2017. Engineering for us today, Tammy Dean. Derek Crooks is our AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned.